It's the top five on the road.
Yes, on the road.
Well, half of us on the road, still crippled, and the other is gallivanting in California.
Yeah, you know, the whole trip that we were hoping to do, you had issues with traveling, so because of your knee replacement, all that, so I'm still going because this is part of my birthday thing that you and Becca all cooked up, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to miss you, miss seeing you out there, but we thought we didn't want to deprive everybody of having a chance to hear a podcast on a Wednesday, so what we would do is have a chance to maybe get to know Jeremy just a little bit more.
So I guess we'll do me, and then I get turnabout's fair play, that I'll get to ask you questions in another podcast.
Oh, of course. And these are not rehearsed. You have no clue what I'm going to ask you. So all of these are going to be right off the hip and going to be, not, like I said, you're not practiced or anything, and it'd be authentic. So get ready.
Top five today is questions to get to know me better.
The Jeremy Q&A.
All right, here we go.
Number five.
We know when you got into radio. We kind of know how you got into radio, because we've talked about that in previous podcasts. But why did you get into radio?
That's a good question. It's all I've ever wanted to do, really.
Mm-hmm.
Media of any kind. But I remember when I was a kid being in my bedroom making up radio shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I would make cassette tapes. Everybody else was getting single, like in the 90s, they were getting karaoke machines.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted Santa to bring me a karaoke machine because it had a cassette for recording and a cassette for playing. So you could play a cassette with the tracks, sing along to it, and record it. Well, I didn't care anything about singing. I was thinking I could record a radio show like that.
Yeah, you could.
And it came with a microphone. So I started asking for those things from Santa every year. Like, I would build a studio. Okay, I've got my Singalodian machine. Now I want a wireless microphone from Radio Shack. Now I want this. And so around my house, people in the neighborhood, where the kids were running around and playing and their bikes and all that. Well, around my house, I would get my friends and we would all do a radio show.
And I've heard some of those early radio shows. I'm sure, you know, you probably don't want that out there. Just like my old tapes, I don't want that out there. But it was fascinating because you were, I mean, what age are we talking when you finally started doing all these special reports, and he had weather forecast, and he had reporters?
I was under 10 years old.
Wow.
So 6, 7, 8. I mean, you know, around that time.
Wow.
I started doing these radio shows, and it's all I've ever wanted to do. And I would set up TV too. We would have the radio portion. But I would set out furniture in my front yard. I would stick, I would
like a TV set.
Well, yeah, like I would use the TV set to be my monitor, and I would have it through my bedroom window, a camcorder, and I would get my dad's furniture from his office, two chairs, and I would get a, what do you call those little tables you eat on? TV trays?
Yeah, TV trays.
I'd put that in the middle, and I would get coffee, and I'd set my coffee mug on there, and I would have a set and a light outside. And I would do the TV version of my show, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And that's what I would do. And I was obsessed with it.
And so that just sort of even though that's TV, and you've done some TV in your time, but it's sort of germinated, and you've always had that underlying love of radio. And you just knew when you were young that you were eventually going to get on the radio somehow.
Oh, I knew it. I knew it. And I appreciate hearing people talk about manifesting. I'm going to manifest this. I'm going to put it out there. I believe in that 1000%, because that's what I've always ever done. If I want to do something, and I want to do it strong enough in my mind, I'm going to do it. And I did.
Number four.
What is your favorite moment live on the air? Can we talk about it?
Well, there's too many to mention.
I figured you would say that.
A lot of them with you.
Well, we've had quite the adventures on the air.
A lot of them mention celebrities, which I don't want to do, but making fun of celebrities. You know what I'm talking about.
I'm afraid I do, and we should not go there.
I don't want the fan clubs coming back at us again.
No. But
I have a lot of them. One of my most embarrassing ones, I think, where I blush, and you, I very rarely get embarrassed.
That's true.
I was working for a station in Dallas, Fort Worth. And it was a country station, and their moniker was country music's biggest hits. Okay.
Yeah.
And they were doing a big ticket blitz weekend to where we were doing concerts to George Strait, you know, all these. And I went on the air and I said, I guess I can say it because we're not. We have no constraints on this medium.
No.
So I said, it's a big.
Oh, no.
I was going to say big tickets week, big ticket blitz weekend. And I said, it's a big tits weekend.
Oh, my. Oh.
And I said, it's a big ticket. It's a big tits ticket titties.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't know what to do. And I was so embarrassed. And I think you heard something like this. And then I just went off the air. Just kidding. I pulled it off and I was like, just kidding. It's a big ticket blitz weekend.
Was there a phone call from the program director?
There was not. I was never, ever fond of those phone calls. I hated those got you.
Yeah.
I heard you make them. Get off the phone. I'm working.
You see that hotline going? I've been hotline before. And typically it's the stuff that you think is not a big deal. Because I've done and said things on the air that, you know, and this will like show up in my Q&A, but I've done things like that before and think, I can't believe I got away with that. Then something stupid like I didn't play the right jingle at a certain place and they're flying off the handle because of that. So it's typically something like that.
You know, it's so funny now for over a decade being, you know, a business owner and growing my business and doing this and being more successful than I ever have been being an employee of someone's. I think about how I would treat employees or how I treat employees and hotlining a jock now as an adult and being, I've been in the business nearly 30 years. That's nothing but ego.
Yeah.
That's nothing but who I'm your boss and I'm going to get you on this. I can never think of as a business owner anything that would warrant me picking up the phone and calling that person, unless it was just absolutely detrimental to our business.
Mayhem or chaos going on.
Exactly. Yeah. Other than that, it's a meeting. It's a sit down. Hey, here's what I heard you do. Here's what we're going. So I didn't appreciate that then. And I don't definitely appreciate that now, but no, thank goodness that didn't ever happen. No one ever talked about it.
Yeah.
Number three.
What do you do to unplug and recharge? Now, I know that there are not that many moments when you can, because, you know, we're just, you know, we both are very busy and you've got your business and it just keeps going up and up and up. And obviously your work ethic, you know, I mean, if the folks who are listening don't know, I've never seen anybody who works as hard as you in my life, honestly, but
appreciate that, man.
You have to unplug and recharge or you just, you know, and I'm about to do that myself. Fortunately, this week, as a matter of fact, I'm trying to do the same thing. What do you do? What is your thing? If you can't go and do travel, I know travel's part of it, but what do you do to unplug and recharge?
It's another good question. The top five is on your the questions are great.
I'm glad. I'm glad you like them. No gotchas here, by the way.
Are you a program director?
But it's a hotline, yeah.
Lord, get out of here. I think I've hung up on a
Oh, I'm sure you have.
The phone, you idiot.
We've ignored some knocking on the window, too, by the way. But
that's my favorite thing of all time. Now, you want to talk about a memory of all time. We worked for one of the biggest weasels I've ever worked for in my entire life. And this goon brain comes to the studio and starts knocking on the door.
The window. This was a glass-in window studio.
Yes. And we were smart enough. He obviously didn't have a key for a very smart reason. Kudos to us. us.
That's right.
But he comes knocking on the door. Hey. And I told Todd, I was like, head down, do not engage. We're working.
Don't look up. Don't look me. Ignore him. Yeah. And so he called and we ignored, and then he's knocking on the window, we ignored, and the whole it was there for a good 5-10 minutes, just continue. So he eventually got the message and moved on, and then we talked to him next day because we had a meeting or something. Hey, trying to get your attention. You're working so hard. And, yeah, we're working hard. Sure. Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, right. Sure. Exactly.
Working hard not to do it. By the way, yes. I'm a joy to work with. I really am.
Yes, you are.
I just don't. If we work together and you're a weasel, boy, it's going to be a rough road.
Yeah, you're not. You don't suffer fools gladly. You're just going to mow all over them.
I like good people. I like nice people. I like business people who want to do good.
Have a good work ethic too. And yeah, exactly.
I don't like the weasels.
No.
I think going on a cruise is probably one of the biggest things. That I can do to unplug.
Okay.
It is just the most, all you need. I don't take my cell phone, nothing. It's my see and sell card or whatever they call it. And that's it. That really helps me unplug. I think the other thing that helps me unplug I don't know. That's a really good question. It's really hard for me to unplug.
I know the travel's part of it, and you've mentioned going to certain places and just, you know, looking at the water. And there was one you did, I guess, in the last year or so. Maybe it was California. I'm not sure, but you'd gone and you just sort of unplugged and spent time thinking and didn't have a computer, didn't have your phone. And
you're in as we speak right now. You are at one of the places.
Okay. Yeah.
That I unwind at. And looking out on the water, being out there, whether I'm praying, I'm journaling in my prayer book, just getting with God and talking to Him and having conversations and saying, Lord, where can I grow? What can I do? Mm-hmm. So where you are right now is probably one of the most relaxing and the most the biggest reset button I could hit.
Yeah.
Number two.
Okay, here's one that this is a really just vague question, but you know, you are quick to bring up a lot of, you know, random fun things about you that maybe people don't know. What is one random fun fact or thing about you that most people don't know?
I like food.
Well, that most people know that. The restaurant sure do. Where's Jeremy? Where'd he go? We went to one yesterday and I guess it was actually last week when I was still in town. Where's he been? Boy, we had to go and take some of the food back we ordered. We didn't know Jeremy wouldn't be here.
Had to lay off a couple of people.
Yeah.
Downturn.
Times are tough. Yeah.
What was the question again?
I expected that. Random fun thing about you, a fun fact that most people don't know.
I love true crime stuff.
You do.
I'm a big true crime buff. I love going to crime scenes that happen. And I know I try not to talk about that because I don't want it to be construed as
creepy or,
well, disrespectful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Families, okay. Or, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I know that is a horrible thing and it's a life changing thing but I don't know why I'm so interested in it, but I always have been from when I was little hearing about JFK to going to Dealey Plaza for the first. I mean, I've always been fascinated with true crime. And so that's probably an interesting fact, and that I like to paint a little bit every once in a while.
See, now the painting, it's not top of mind because I think in the past I've noticed, or you said, oh yeah, I painted this, and I'm like, paint, and then I just would forget because that isn't like something that, you know, we talk about an awful lot, but
no,
I forgot about that.
It's weird, you know, I don't get to do much. I mean, very rarely do I have any time that I just will devote to myself, because even if I'm by myself, I'm thinking about, okay, what's the next thing? What's the next deal? What's the next contact? What's the next project? Mm-hmm. How do I, with what I have on my plate now, how do I make it better? How do I, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I never, I have a problem with that.
Well, maybe that's one of the things that you do to unplug and recharge, to kind of harken back to a previous question. Maybe when you get that time, say on the weekend or something, if you have a little bit of downtime and you're caught up, maybe that's part of one of the things you get to do if you can't go be on a cruise or travel.
Yeah. Yeah. That is definitely, I need more free time. I realize that. And everyone tells me that, look, you need to really unwind, and you know, like I'm healing on this knee surgery, mm-hmm. and it hasn't stopped me from work once. Like I didn't have one day that I missed from I'm able to work from home, and that's why, but
yeah,
I just work, and I love it and want more of it.
Number one.
So the last question, and you can take this any direction you want, and I'm just going to throw it out there. What gives you the most hope?
Ooh. About life?
It could be anything you want.
And don't get me to crying.
Not trying to.
But for me personally, that I have a Lord and Savior, that when the sun goes down and my head hits the pillow and I have the final conversations of the day, it's about things that matter. It's my family. It's my relationship with the Lord that can ground me and just quiet the world around me. It's not about what's going on in the world and any of that. It is about knowing that I have a Heavenly Father who has never failed me.
Mm-hmm.
Not once. Not once. Not one job, not one opportunity, not one anything. He continues to over-deliver for me in a mm-hmm. way that makes me want to weep. Because he delivers. Mm-hmm. So it gives me hope in this crazy world and the negativity and the hatred and the division and all of that. It gives me hope knowing none of that matters. I've got a faith that promises me, no matter what chaos is going on outside my walls of my faith, mm-hmm. myself, I'm going to be okay. It's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that I can only want that peace that I have like that for everybody, because it is the most wonderful, freeing, nothing else matters peace. That's it.
I watch probably way too many YouTube and TikTok or whatever videos out there. And they're with these things that are called reels on Facebook, mm-hmm. where most of them are, most are probably religious themed, because I tend to watch a lot of that kind of thing. Not because I'm a doomsday kind of person, and, because Revelation is fascinating to me, the whole way it's set up, the whole return of Christ, and as a fellow Christian, it is amazing to know, with everything going on, that there are folks who haven't, there quite a few haven't sought Jesus Christ out. And there are people who do man on the street just asking, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Oh, gosh, no. And keep on walking. These are people walking down the street. And I watch that and think, what kind of, with all the protesting and all of the fighting in the Middle East and all the signs and, the economy doing terribly and everything else, it makes me wonder, how do you have any hope with the world crumbling around you? The world's broken. We were told that in the Bible back in the day, way back before we were even thought up and born. And I just don't know where people get hope. And, you know, we, you and I have to go and navigate and live in a secular world because that's where our business is. And we have to pay bills and we have to go draw a shop for clothes. We have to get cars repaired, all that kind of thing. And just the level of folks who just don't have hope. It's heartbreaking. And so I wanted to ask you that, not to make you cry, but to make to because I knew the answer because we've talked about this millions of times. Mm-hmm. The fact that, you know, if it weren't for Christ and the fact that he died to save me when I didn't deserve it, and the enormity and how mind blowing it is, you know, the whole I can only imagine when you get there and say, why did you do that for me? I didn't deserve it because I'm a broken human. We all are. So I did it mainly because I knew that folks that know you know your faith, and
yeah,
it's nice to hear a reminder of what that means to you. The hope part, anyway.
People will tell me, they'll be like, you know, you. I even had an interview recently on a podcast where a good friend and colleague asked me where my positivity comes from or where my happiness and my smiley and all of that. And I had to be careful because I don't want to offend anyone and I don't want to, you know, turn anyone off. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
That's what gives me.
Yeah.
That's what makes me me. That's what makes me smile. It's what makes me laugh. What gives me hope. That's what does everything for me.
Yeah.
Is my faith. And I hope that it, shows. And I know I do, I could do a better job of being more patient and being more loving and being more all of these things, but that's what is in me. And that's what keeps me going and driving. And that's what makes me smile when I wake up in the morning. And it's what gives me peace and comfort and hope when I lay my head down every night.
Well, that's what I was hoping to hear. Not that I had any doubt, but just, and you know, if anybody out there listening has been looking for hope, I mean, that's the only hope we have is a relationship and a belief in Jesus Christ. And I would highly recommend that if you've ever had any questions about it, please go and seek out someone that, seek out a church and find someone who is a believer to sit down with you if you've ever had any questions, because I look at all the signs and everything, and I feel like it's very possible Jesus might come back in my lifetime. We've been told ever since we were kids, Jesus is coming soon, morning, night, or noon. And
it better not happen when I'm at a buffet. Just really quickly. Timing is everything.
I mean, come on, Jesus. I mean, could you let me get one more run through. Get the desserts
all for
going.
You coming. And I'm all for the the what is it? The Supper of the Lambs. Yeah. But after my buffet at the Golden Corral,
let me finish up and pay the bill before we do all that, because it's going to be a mess if you don't. I mean, come on. Well, that's kind of what I didn't want to get into, you know, where were you the night of the 14th, or ask about, you know, what terrible things have you done? Because here's the thing. We all have done terrible things. We all have regrets and everything. But sometimes it's just nice to not have to deal with all of the, because in our top five, normally we deal with the fun stuff and the not so fun stuff. And just to get a break and to say, you know, peel the curtain back and the man behind the curtain, just to see if you're interested in Jeremy at all, just to maybe a few things that maybe you didn't know about him to help you connect. And maybe for the next Q&A, maybe I won't have any embarrassing moments myself.
I can't wait till I get to ask you questions.
Yes, you will, and I'll be ready.
Yeah, we'll do that on the next one. And I, you know, hopefully we'll still be friends. Yes,
I think we will.
Well, I was telling them because, you know, I hang up on, you know, program director.
And then you don't let the program director in the studio. He's knocking on the window still. He may still be out there. I don't know.
He could very well be. Breaking news. He still ain't getting in. You know what I'm saying? But other than that, I'm a nice guy.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Well, there you go. There's your Jeremy Q&A.
The top five. Thank you, Todd.